Buff's gotta be delirious. Said he's the only one chanting, but there's the voices of at least a dozen men down there. Must be hiding in the woods. Of course, good chance we're all a little delirious. I'm gonna go have a look myself. I want to get a gander at this thing that Buff's all worked up over. Says it's completely hairy, like an ape from the circus, but that it stands on two legs like a man. I've never seen a circus, so I can't say. Said it's only a few feet tall, 3 or 4, and it's chained to a totem. That's nuts, because Injuns don't use chains. Says it stinks too. That I believe, because I can damn near smell it all the way up here. Like old garbage in a July latrine. The way it bellows is just... well, let's just say it's about time to put an end to it. December 18 night. Well, I got some good news. We got full bellies. That is, if we can manage to keep it down. We ate that hairy thing. First I got LaBeouf and we snuck down there real quiet-like. Got within seeing range of that crazy Injun. And boy, do I mean crazy. You ain't got no idea. Feller had that big old fire going and sure enough that thing was chained up down there going a mile a minute. Like it was rabid or something. Just like Buff says. I don't know how he saw us. We were real sneaky. Damn sure we hadn't made a noise. We've gotten good at sneaking in the tribe. We knows what we're doing. But some way that brave knew just where to find us. He stopped his chanting, all dozen voices of it, and looked up right at LaBeouf and me hiding in the crags. I hefted my rifle to put an end to it, but before I could fire, that damned Injun pulled up a bowie and clean cut his own damned throat with a deep, slow cut. Oh my God, that thing on the chain went berserk, like it knew what was coming next. You see, that brave looked away from us right before he did it. Looked right at that monkey ting and they both got real quiet. The ting got all still like it was afraid. Then the brave nodded to it like they understood each other. Well, the next thing we know, gouts of blood are all gushing onto the snow. The brave fell down shaking like he had the palsy. And the ting went to screaming and jerking at its chains with the power of 10 men. Damned lucky it was chained and not just tethered. So the next thing I know, I hear a loud crack next to me, and LaBeouf had put a 50 ball right in that ting's head. Damned fine shot when he needs to be. So we go down the hill and LaBeouf is all talking about how he's gonna eat the monkey ting. Like he didn't even see the blamed crazy Injun just bleed himself out like that. To be honest, my mouth would have been watering too if it hadn't been for the stench. Oh my God, the stench! It's all about the cave now. But I guess it's better to be stinking than starving. Next, we start dressing the ting, mostly to get its head free from the chain, and the fire starts to burn down. But it's not quite out yet when that Injun elder overguesses his cunning, and I see him moving between a couple of trees in the shadows. I turn and fire, oh, but go wide, and LaBeouf gets up his gun. He pulls and it clicks on an empty chamber. Damned fool was so excited for meat that he didn't reload. Anyway, I look back and that crazy brave is gone. His body had clearly been dragged by some other Injun into the woods. I thought about going after them right then, but knew they'd have sport of us if we went into the woods. I'm not worried about the cave. We got half ton of mining charges and more pistols and rifles than we could shoot in a week. They know they're no good coming up our way, which is why I figure they'd try and draw us into the pine. Anyway, LeBouf and I get the meat back here, and the boys damn near kiss us despite the smell. It was greasy, and I swear to God that the stink is coming out of our pores. But like I say when the boys complain, ain't none of us gourmet. Gore looked out of the gap in the lodge again. He hadn't noticed before, but it did indeed look like that corpse had its throat cut. The red of the blood glistened as though it were still wet. A black shadow dashed across the scene between Gore and the corpse. A strong smell of decay and garbage struck him through the gap like a bad wind. The smell was familiar. It was the smell of the thing that had been chasing him the previous night. It was also the smell that was so strong in the cave and on his new coat. What was it the journal had said? That stink is coming out of our pores. Gore sniffed the coat and winced. The shadow darted by again. This time the sound of the Tlingit boy bleeding out came loudly from just behind the lodge. Only the thin layer of hide and frost to separate them. It was deafening. Gore huddled in the middle of the flimsy structure, scared. He'd not known fear for a long time. Not when he was in the war. Not when he'd come north with nothing but a pistol and whatever gear he could rustle from the rushers. Not when the Mounties came after him for scalping miners. But now, he was scared. He looked down at the journal. There were only blank pages left. What had happened at the cave? It couldn't have been that small beast they'd eaten. They said it had only been 3 or 4 feet tall. The one in the darkness was huge. Maybe an older one. A parent? An angry parent looking for its child? Shit! The smell came back as the lodge jolted, struck by a very large fist. I'm not worried about the cave, the journal had said. They know they're no good coming up our way. But maybe something else would have better luck, Gore thought. Then the brave nodded to it, like they understood each other. Not a lone warrior standing vigil, Gore realized of the corpse. But a sacrifice, a bargain, a life for a life, and now the thing knows how to find the ones it sought. The only language that makes sense to demon beasts, the scent of sin on the hunt, revenge. He raised his hatchet defensively toward the door, impotent fear coursing through him. The lodge shook again. Frost fell around Gore like a dusting of snow. The sound of a child dying echoed through the darkness again, but not a human child this time. A bestial one, pierced through the skull by a lead ball. Then a long, slow moan of mourning that ended in a violent, angry howl. An anger so determined that it overcame 9 armed men. So keen that it destroyed the guardian totems. So final that it cost the people of the village whatever uneasy peace they held with the demons of the north. It howled again, and the sound of the frozen warrior's corpse, shattered by its great strength, tinkled like broken glass through the walls. Gore shook, the tent shook, and then the world exploded into a moonlight snowscape as the hide walls were rent apart. Gore screamed.